less than
2 months.
There's already on this year, there's so much advertising going on.
Well, I think they're doing, you guys are taking care of that, right?
Yeah,
you guys
that's are all doing, us, oh, yeah.
I think if we take a seat, it should be fine. We're cool. We're live already.
I'll get you.
What's up, guys? We're here live for episode 31 of Beyond Every Toy Aisle. This is your host, Eduardo Pineda.
Benjamin.
Xavier.
And today we have a guest, which is Steve from TC Rockets, and we're just here. We're going to get straight to it. We just want to know a little bit about the origin story of your comic book store and how the idea came about, and then lead that into Rocket Con.
Cool. I had stores actually back in the mid-90s. Had them for about 2 years, and my buddy and I opened them together. They did really well, but toys actually wasn't even really part of it at that time in collecting. Store needed to go get a job, so I kind of put all that on hold. And then for 20 years, I've just been buying anything and just stuffing it away. And then started doing other career stuff. And I was just kind of waiting for that moment where I could, like, have a store but not necessarily depend on the store so that I financially was stable. And when that point came was 5 years ago. So 5 years ago, we opened up in La Mesa. We had a really good 3.5 years there. But this store kind of popped up on the radar for us, and it's just... Once we moved here, we've had a huge explosion, and it's been tremendous since we moved over here.
Yeah, as soon as we walk in the door, I mean, oh my God, it just opens up.
I saw, I kind of went on the website, and I saw that you guys started in 2015?
Yeah, 2015.
So, and all because, basically, you guys kind of wanted to open up a store, right? Like, you and your son?
Yes. So, I'm a real estate broker, so I was kind of like, hey, where can I have my office in the back and have my fun in the front? And I didn't know how much my son would be part of it. He actually got his real estate license as well. So we kind of initially thought that that would be part of what we were going to do. And we still kind of do it, but it's more on the side, the store. Like I said, it's just once we moved here, the amount of work and everything has grown. In a good way, but just over there, because the store was only a couple thousand square feet, I mean, everything was much more condensed and less to deal with. Here, the store is just over 8,000 square feet. So between having online departments, gaming department, just everything else, there's just a lot. And we pretty much both have just dived in 100% on the store for the most part.
So 2017 was the first year that you guys did Rocket Con, if
yep.
I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
So we went with MJK Toys, does a few shows. So we actually did PowerCon, which is a He-Man convention up in L.A. And we were sitting there the first day, and we were about halfway through the show. And obviously at that time, there wasn't any show in San Diego other than SDCC. And my son turns to me and he says, why aren't we doing a show in San Diego? And I was just like, I don't know. I've talked about it before. Like, there needs to be a good show. The San Diego wants it. We need a good show. And he's like, why aren't we doing it? And my response was, that's fine, but I'm not doing it by myself. You're doing it with me. If you want to do it, it's us. We're going to go do this. So we basically just came back, started doing our homework. And, I mean, honestly, we're still learning. Like, it's – but we've kind of tried to do what I've done in the store, which is just kind of walking up. We started with a one-day show. Make sure we want to actually do this. Did it work well? Last year was a two-day show. But our interpretation of that, it went really well, but we really felt like it was a 2 one-day shows. There wasn't as much kind of going on where if someone bought a two-day badge, they had that feeling of like, I need to come tomorrow. Okay. I missed something. Mm-hmm. And that's really been our focus now this third year is to add more panels, more entertainment, more things that are just going on. Where someone that gets there feels like there's a lot more to do the day than just walk up, get somebody to sign something, buy something, and leave.
And special guests, too. I saw that you guys have really vamped that up on...
Yeah, exactly. That's been a lot of our focus this year as well.
Are all the guests going to be there every like both days, or are they going to be exclusive?
So, right now, I'm only... David Barron is the short guest. He actually almost backed out. He's the guy who did a bunch of the Batman Who Laughs series and stuff for the comic books.
Oh, wow.
He was going to back out, but he actually called us back up and said, hey, if you want, I can come for 2 hours on Saturday. That way you can still advertise me and I can still be there, but I can't do the whole show. But all of our other guest lists, everybody's there pretty much the entire time. So the only time they're not there is if they're in a panel or having lunch or something like that. But otherwise, everybody is a full 2 days hanging out, spending time. So That was important to us, too. I know a lot of shows get big people, and they're only there for a little bit, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
It was really important to us that these guests are sitting there, spending time.
Will there be a point where, like, in Comic-Con, where you have, like, a panel where you can talk to the guests?
Yes. Oh,
that's what they're doing, I think.
That's a lot more of our focus. So, you guys probably saw we have Rob Paulsen coming this year. He's actually coming because of one of the other girls that's a voice person. She has a new show on Netflix. And so Rob Paulsen and his son are voice actors for that show. So she actually grabbed some of them and said, you need to come with me. We're going to go start promoting our Netflix show. So as far as I'm aware, she's actually going to preview that show in her panel. You'll be able to talk to Rob Paulsen and them. But pretty much everyone on our guest list are supposed to do a panel. It's whether we feel like we can kind of add a panel that we feel is a good bundle to put them together and then have panels for them. But yeah, there should be things going on where you can, you know, get in a room, ask questions, Q&A on these people. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think when we went last year, like the guests were there and I mean, you can talk to them and sign, but it would be cool, like something like Comic-Con where you're out there, like, you know, yeah. Talking to them.
That's exactly, that bridge is what we really worked this year on. Obviously, we want it to be busier, but at the same time, the facility itself isn't bigger. So as far as, let's say, vendors, things like that, we still max that area. But what can we make better? And that's one of the big things where we actually want to make panels interactive, fun, where, again, there's something else to do. If you got there and you went shopping around for a while, like, well, 2 o'clock, I got to get over. That guy's in a panel, and I want to go sit down. I want to hear what he's got to say and you know, ask questions. So
yeah. It's more on a personal level.
Exactly.
Actually just go and buy toys. Definitely.
Yeah, I've been to all the other shows, like local shows, and to be honest, RocketCon is probably the one that I've enjoyed the most. Maybe because it's not that it's more orientated towards like action figures and collectibles, because there's a big variety, and most of their shows either they focus on one thing, they don't like attract everything, you know, like
exactly
a mix or
that's
variety.
Again, that's just something that I kind of set in when we first started talking. So, like, anyone that's sending in vendor requests, we want to see what you're selling, what you're doing. And then even then, we're still trying to kind of balance it out by saying, okay, if we have 40 spots, let's make sure at least 10 of those spots are comic book guys. You know, let's make sure 10 are this. And, you know, is there an apparel guy? And again, that's kind of where we want that variety. I've gone up to the Long Beach show a couple times, and, I mean, they're renting spaces to people who are asking you to donate to Greenpeace and stuff. And I'm just like, nothing against that, but I'm like, that's not what I'm at my show for. Like,
yeah.
Where's that vendor? Yeah. Where's that, you know, collectible person? Where's an artist? Where's any of these other things?
Exactly.
So.
Yeah. You know, a lot of times, like, you know, we talk about Comic-Con again, but what do you call it? Like, the interactive stuff. I know when I went there the other time, like, I saw a bunch of, like, Ghostbuster cars and stuff like that
yep.
on the outside. Are you going to have more stuff also on the outside?
Yep. So those guys are coming back. Funny thing is, what the head guy for that club is a Shriner. He's from that center.
Oh, nice.
And he heard last year our show was coming and actually called us and donated all the cars.
Oh, nice.
He's like, oh, you guys, do you want us to come there? And we're like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So, yeah, they're coming back out again to do that.
Yeah, that was a pretty nice setup. Like, you know, as soon as you get there, like, people can actually see that.
Exactly.
I know that you are going to be changing the layout. Is there going to be any extra rooms that you guys didn't use, or is it going to be the same
space? So the panel rooms will definitely be more. We're moving kind of where we had the food. So they have different size rooms. So the largest room, we did use it last year, but it actually wasn't used very well. We were actually just there this last week. So we're actually setting that up as like a gaming area. There's going to be D&D in there, a couple miniature games, like guys will demo. So if somebody wants to just learn how to play a game, they'll have stuff in there. Some empty tables if you want to just hang out, play some games. The food's going to be near there. So that's one is going to kind of extend the facility. So it feels obviously much bigger because stuff's stretched out. But the big thing that we did change was last year you came in the door, which went to the bigger room. But everyone in the other room felt a little more disconnected.
Disconnected, yeah.
So actually this year when you come in, you're actually not going through that door anymore. So you're actually going to turn and go right, and you go all the way down the hallway. So when you actually enter, you're going to come in between the two rooms.
Oh,
so actually nice. When you walk in, it's like, okay, room here, room here. Mm-hmm. And everyone that walks in now knows that the facility is twice as big as it was.
It's twice as big.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, because You had the artist alley on one side.
Yeah.
I remember we were right in between the door.
Yeah, and that's where, yeah.
And people would come and say, hey, you guys...
Yeah.
Yeah. Send people over there.
But. Exactly. We tried to do the signage a little bit, but I mean, yeah. Again, people just are, you get in the habit of what you're kind of dictated in, mm-hmm. in your space.
Yeah.
And that's something, again, that we were told that first night. One of the guys that worked at the facility is like, why didn't you guys just go to this door? And we just kind of all looked at each other like, I don't know. Why didn't we go to that door? So that is the big change we made. So the check-in tables, everything, we're moving everything down to the other end of the hallway. And then that way, when people come in, they can't even go in that one section where you went.
Oh, they that's can't an exit go through the stage, right?
Nope, that'll be okay. Exit only. So okay. They'll have to go down. They'll have to walk in between the north and south halls. And that way, they'll be in the middle of everything.
Awesome. Like my kids, they're heavy into video gaming. Will you be soon getting into that also, or is
we might? We did try that last year. We had a Smash event up on the stage. Oh. I was kind of hoping that was going to be more fun than I think it really was. Those guys had fun,
yeah.
But I didn't feel like the room. I kind of wanted this noise and ambiance where that room felt a little bit alive. That really kind of never happened in there. So we're not really planning as much this year. There is going to be a VR guy there again, so you can go to a booth and demo VR and stuff. But as far as actual video games playing, we don't really have a location for that as much this year as we're trying to get that other room set up for a little bit more of what was kind of demanded last year. I wish the Smash guys had kind of made it a more inviting way for getting people up on the stage, but they were more concerned about kind of just running their own event there than they were like, hey, come up and play with us.
That is true.
And join in.
I just wanted to ask you, like, how hard has it been to start the show? Because I'm pretty sure there's been obstacles. And also, how did you go about getting the guests?
Obstacle-wise, honestly, we meet them every day. It kind of doesn't go away because everything's always shifting. The guest is a good way to switch. We're seeing the first year that we did it and last year, a lot of the guests were guarantees, meaning that you'd say, hey, we guarantee to make X for you. And that way, if we don't, we've got to pay that difference because our job is to bring people into the show and they can charge and make their money. We're seeing a lot more people being handled like agents, and now they're wanting appearance fees. And it's almost a double dip kind of thing because we're going to pay the guy to show up, but then now he's going to go to the table and charge as well. And I think you're going to see a lot of smaller shows have a lot of difficulty over the next couple of years until this kind of goes away of getting these guests in there. And that's a lot where we've kind of met some of that challenge this year. The Rob Paulson and them were fantastic because the girl needed them out for the show. They actually lowered their numbers down so that it made it a lot easier for us to get a group of them together. So it's like a constant work. You can't just, if you want to pay out everything, great, call up. But then again, you're hoping that your show generates so much money that you can pay everybody. And the business side to me is I can't do that. I want the show to keep growing and getting bigger, and I don't want it to go negative every year.
I'm pretty sure you have to keep the budget intact. You know, if you're losing the money, then how are you gonna keep it going?
Yeah. Exactly.
So I like that you guys are taking that into consideration and putting that into effect and seeing some good stuff, man. I'm really excited for this. Can you pull up the guests, bro? Can you pull up the guests on their website? I just wanted to talk about some of the guests real quick and see if we can, because they got a really good lineup. If you guys are in San Diego and you guys really wanna see some cool stuff, you guys got to be out there, man, March 21st and March 22nd, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, March 21st, 22nd of 2020. We actually just announced today, we just signed Jay Lee, comic book artist. We just actually signed him today.
He did Batman versus Superman? Or one of those
comic books, right? That was Jim Lee did that. Jay Lee's actually been around for a long time.
But he does Superman. No, he did Superman before?
He's done Superman actually right there. He's right at the top of our page today. That was our announcement today.
He did that run.
Exactly. Yeah, so voice actress for Naruto. We had a bunch of people this year.
So we got the voice actor for Naruto. We got, like he said, Rob Paulson, which is pretty big. He worked on a lot of stuff that we probably saw during our childhood, man. And then they got the Red Ranger. They got an artist for Rick and Morty.
We actually have two. So these aren't all the artists that are doing the books all the time for Rick and Morty, but it's two of them, Mike Vasquez and David Roman. But these two travel a lot of the shows. So the cool thing about them is, A, at least they've done the work, so it's not like, well, you're just a guy sitting here. So they've actually have stuff published. But the fun thing is that you can go to the booths and get stuff. And these two are the guys that are doing most of the actual shows. We've had three books now done by David Roman. I sold the first one almost immediately. Chase and I had him do one with him and I standing on the cover together. And he does it like we're from the cartoon, so it's that that style. And then I actually have one on the wall right now where I had Pickle Rick done holding our rocket up on the shoulder.
Oh, dang.
So,
that's
just a lot of fun. The guys are really good. Yeah. They're interactive, and it's a good way to get a fun thing back from the show kind of thing.
Maybe you should do it like an exclusive print or something, you know?
We do actually have an exclusive comic this year.
Oh, okay.
So we do have a, it's going to be on an IDW Transformers 18. We had a exclusive cover done for it. We haven't submitted the art on the website until we just get the final proof of it. But it's pretty cool.
How do we go about getting one at the show? Or?
So some of the stuff, the exclusives will be on the thing. If you haven't bought a ticket, you can go on there and you can add stuff in the cart to it. But we will have it all at the show for sale as well. So I think we're going to set it up in two places. So it'll be at the table with your tickets. The exclusive stuff that we do have would be up there where you could do it as well. And then we are setting up a booth inside. We're going to do action figure submissions through Collector Archive Services. You could submit toys for grading at the show. And then at that booth as well, we'll set up another display of all the exclusive stuff there. And then we're also bringing stuff, which I do encourage anyone that's selling, bring stuff that guys can sign. I mean, if you have a Naruto figure, bring it, because people are going to get there and go, I need something cool to have signed. And that's a lot of what I've brought. I'm not setting up a full booth the same way. I'm kind of just bringing stuff. Hey, you can go get this signed. So here we go. We have stuff for you to buy.
I'm kind of glad they released that Batman Who Laughs, because I just picked it up. I might get that signed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. David Barron's going to be there for those 2 hours, so it's a great thing to go get him to sign. So. Definitely.
Then we also have Sam de la Rosa. He worked on some Venom comics. Then we have James C. Mulligan. He's a Disney artist. He does like prints. Then this might be interesting to all the DBZ fans. Is the voice actor of Hercule, or Mr. Satan in Spanish.
Oh, no.
Chris Rager. He's going to be there. David Barron, like he said, for the Batman Who Laughs. Another Power Ranger, which is, what's his name? Brandon Mejia.
Brandon Mejia.
A couple, the Yellow Ranger from Power Rangers in Space, Tracy Lynn Cruz. Then for you DBZ fans or anime fans, Josh Martin, voice of Majin Buu for DBZ. Joseph Michael Linzer, another comic book artist. David M. Bower, or Bower?
Bower. He, that's the guy that just did Kanto for IDW. It's kind of just like a fun, it's kind of like a weird take on Wizard of Oz. But it was it was a fun story.
Then we got Jamie Sullivan. He does. He's an artist, and Sam Sawyer, which is a digital artist. And I'm pretty sure there might be more.
Sam Sawyer is the one that's got the show on Netflix coming. Okay. So that's her show on Netflix, and then that's So we also have Rob Paulson's son is going to be on the list. He just hasn't got announced yet. Okay. So we haven't listed him on here if we haven't actually announced him, but his son's on there. And then there's another guy we just signed today that's from that anime show as well that'll be on there.
From Dragon Ball?
No, from the Sam Sawyer's Netflix show. So it'll be four people from that, and then those four will be in one of the panels.
What is your overall goal with the show? Like, what is your
where we would like to see it go?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the dream would be big as like the SDCC, but honestly, I don't. I like SDCC for what it is, but I don't like the fact that it doesn't feel like a show anymore. It is what it is, right? I mean, and anyone that's gone can say, yeah, I've gone and it's this, but I really want the feel that we had before with how San Diego Comic-Con used to be. And it's like, I kind of almost want to cap at that moment where it's like, this still feels like a show. And it's not quite given away to all of the pop culture, over-the-top movie and everything else. And I think that stuff's fun. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I geek out when somebody famous is coming. I'm like, oh, my God, I get to meet this person. I mean, last year we had Flash Gordon at the thing. And I thought that was great, you know what I mean? But I would like to see it, obviously, as the business grow enough where, you know, it's a good business, right? Mm-hmm. But I want to stop at that moment where we lose that feeling again.
No, I smiled when I first came in because I came in and I actually felt like I was at a show. I looked around and I was like, wow. And then first of all, I looked at G.I. Joe and I was like, okay, that's my childhood. Let me see what I'm looking at currently. And I start looking at, I'm like, wow, they have everything, variety.
To me, that's a good business sense, though. And that's what I'm saying. We did the same balance for the show is, I don't know who's going to come. You know? When we had, what was it last year? The first year we had one of our friends has a big YouTube channel, does rock covers, right? Out of nowhere, one of my gamers is like, I have to go to your show now. And I was like, well, you know, thank you, but why? And he's like, my wife loves this guy. She's downloaded everything he's done on YouTube.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, now she needs to go there to meet the guy. And that's that crossover where if you only go one way, you miss a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
And that's not the goal. The goal is to have an inviting way where everyone feels like, hey, there's something here for me. We haven't officially got somebody, but we're planning on having a face painter there. That's for free. Just kids, go get your face painted and stuff. So it's just things like that we think are cool that should be at the show.
What does that have? Do you guys have any questions for him?
He's talking about San Diego Comic Con, like this past year, or like they've been doing it. In my opinion, I don't know. I feel like they're like, for the local people, they're like taking us out of it. Like, you know, before, people who didn't have tickets, whatever, they can go up there and at least see what's going on in the front.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, like, they're blocking it off and we can't go over there. And, you know, the element, we kind of like make Comic-Con, us local people, you know? And, that was one of my pet peeves when I saw about that. But I like the fact that, you know, we still have Rocky-Con.
I personally feel like they could do a better job, but I don't know that where they've gone they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there's a way they could bring back that feeling. But I don't know that they're looking at that anymore. I mean, it's very, very Hollywood now.
Definitely feels like Universal Studios.
The Hollywood looks at it as a thing of, hey, we need to show up at there. People have an expectation now that show's presenting certain things, and that's changed that ambiance now. I sold there years ago and made really good money, and then I didn't sell for a long time. And we sold there 2 years ago, and I actually sold for Bandai. Bandai wasn't allowed to sell in America, so they have to use a proxy. So we sold their game at their booth, and then on the backside, Bluefin is their main toy distributor. Bluefin had a satellite booth. So we actually ended up manning 6 booths for Bandai. The front 4 were to man the game, and then the backside, we ended up basically subletting Bluefin's Bandai side. And I did very, very well, but I literally left that show understanding why. And it was the product that we were selling, because no one has that product as very much in stores as accessible. There's not a lot of the anime and that kind of stuff. And people were buying that up left and right. But the guys who have what I have normally, there's not money to make there. And so again,
there's
so much money brought in, but they're not looking for those things. They're looking for exclusives and one-offs, and I need to get that guy's autograph, or, you know, that's what they're looking for now. And again, that's fine, but to me, that's not San Diego Comic Con. You know, that's not what we grew up with, and that feeling is not that.
I'd say that more than half of the people go there to make money. I would, that you could easily say that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, I have a store. How do I not go to Hasbro's line?
Yeah.
How do I not buy stuff at Hasbro? You know what I mean? I mean, that's part of your whole plan now is, how do I get in Hasbro and get all my exclusives? And you're missing the show.
It's getting harder every year, though, with raffles and everything going on.
Well, not only that, there's also the people who get in there before, or the vendors that can be, you know, they get in line before the people who wait outside, so they have an advantage too. And then it's like, it's just getting crazy and crazy. But, you know, it's all part of the game, so
it is.
I guess we can't complain as long as you're in there.
Exactly.
The thing is, too, the amount of people also that are going in there. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to walk around there. I mean, my son wanted to go to the back part of the gaming area, and it literally almost took us like 2 hours just to get back there. I mean, just trying to find little cracks, like, oh, an open space here, and then just moving.
They've almost lost the show for years. Honestly, there's a couple of cities, Vegas, one of them, that's been trying to get it away because of the size of the venue. But that's what I'm saying is, I think there's ways they could resolve that.
Yeah.
1 year you actually got tickets at a hotel, right? So that space wasn't being used at the facility. they could take all those artists and put them up on that upper patio.
That's true.
And bring in some more vendors back to the floor. And again, bring back that feeling. But that's saying, I just don't know that that's something that they care that they want to do. Like I said, I enjoy it. I enjoy when I go, but I enjoy it for the spectacle that it is.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't ever go there thinking I'm at a comic show. Yeah. I've actually enjoyed WonderCon more for that feeling than I've enjoyed SDCC.
Everybody says that. Yeah. You know, WonderCon is
it what feels
Comic-Con, what San Diego Comic-Con used to
be. Exactly.
I do remember going in the early 90s, walking, you know, comic books, stickers, and you felt like, wow, this is really a show.
You could buy your comic, your tickets at a booth or like at a space or somewhere in front, at the door.
Exactly. You know, they had tables. I remember they had tables. Okay.
Now online, but now,
so I guess WonderCon would be where we'd like to get to.
Okay.
That feeling, that size, I don't mind the show being big, but I want that feeling. I don't want people to come back and go, you know, it's...
And San Diego doesn't have it, so what a perfect...
We haven't had it in a long time. Yeah. I mean, and that's what I'm saying. As San Diego is literally like the Mecca.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we used to be, like, I would say, the king of comic books, but watching where toys have gone the last 10 years, I think San Diego is still up on that top on both sides. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely a lot of fun.
Action figures, definitely, man. Yeah. I've seen it has grown, definitely grown in the last 5 years for sure.
Definitely.
So, again, March 21st and March 22nd, guys, we're going to be waiting for you guys over there. Hopefully, you guys have time to check out the website.
It's SDRocketCon.com, and tickets are available on there right now as well. Like I said, the exclusives and stuff are going to be popping up on there as well.
So if you guys want any additional information, just make sure you guys go onto the website.
Cosplay is definitely welcome.
Is definitely welcome there as well.
There were some people.
There was some. We had a contest, but again, like I said, that's some of the stuff that kind of like got lost in the fold. We will have a cosplay contest this year. But a lot more cosplay will definitely be going on.
That's good to know. I will dress up this year.
Absolutely. Dress up, have
fun.
Yeah,
definitely. I'm going to start prepping.
If you guys want to look for Steve, you guys can find him on Facebook, or you guys can definitely hit up the website. It has all their social media links, so make sure to follow them if you guys have any questions about the show, or if you guys are interested in vending. I'm not sure if you guys
still
have
still a few spaces left for vendors on there as well, so if they get in, they still should get a chance to get in there.
All right, guys, thank you for your time.
Thanks very much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.